right, so we're in the book of Exodus. Book of Exodus, chapter 15. I have a handout. Handout for the book of Exodus 15, verse 18. 15:18. So we're looking at the Song of Moses here. 15:18. And so we recall in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And so the application here is we all harden our heart. So we either harden our heart in unbelief, rebellion, rejection, or we harden our heart in faith and trust. And so Pharaoh hardened his heart. Moses attempted to harden his heart, and five times he said, "No, I will not do this." And finally, the Lord said, "No." And we began to work in his heart. And so Moses then began to harden his heart in faith. Remember, five denials he made, but the Lord overcame them all. And so, and likewise, we all have a heart, and we harden our heart on a regular basis, so we want to harden it in faith. Part of the way to harden our heart is to hear from Scripture and allow the Lord to deal with our hard hearts, sometimes in rebellion, and help us become more submissive. And so this is not just about Moses. Moses is long dead. So if we say, nice story about Moses, let's move on. No, this is an account about you. It's about us. But anyway, he sang a song. He sang a song, and so he wrote a song here. And so I would say that in writing the song, Lord got a hold of his heart, and so he was able to exalt the Lord in this song of Moses. And so this is where music and singing helps deal with the hard heart, right? It's hard to sing praises to the Lord, the hard heart. I'm angry with the Lord, but I've got to go through choir practice and sing praises. Boy, but I am really mad and angry at him. Hard to do that, isn't it? Right. So anyway, so in 15:18, so in all of this, he says, "The Lord shall reign forever and ever." So in this the account here, Moses learned the lesson that the Lord wanted to deliver them. He promised to deliver them. And in fact, he did deliver them. And now he can write about this. So in 15:18, the commentary says, "The Lord was in the process of accomplishing his plan for his chosen people, as he had promised Israel to deliver the nation of Israel from Egypt." So he made that promise. And that's promise found once again in verse 17. "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in, the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established." So here the prophet Moses recognized the Lord's got a plan. He's going to bring us into the promised land. We're not there yet. We have about 40 years before we ever get there. And then there's going to be time when David is able to conquer Jebus or Jerusalem. And then Solomon is going to come along and build a temple. So this is all highly compressed once again. More compressed scripture here. But the prophet could see down in God's prophecy what the Lord was going to do. And so verse 17 brings all this together over certainly the time of Moses to Solomon would be about 600 years. So he sees this picture of what's going to happen. And so verse 18. "So anyway, the temporary reigns of the most powerful kings on earth are nothing in comparison to Jehovah. The Lord shall reign forever and ever." He makes that statement. So where is this Pharaoh? Same language is found in Psalm 146:10. David gives that psalm again, or that expression there. The Apostle John said, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. John says that, Revelation 11:15. Also, his servants, John said this about servants, they shall reign forever and ever. And so the Lord's going to reign forever, but we who know him will reign forever as well. And so this is certainly about the Lord, but as we're going to have that privilege to reign forever. So so do you think the Lord's going to reign forever? That's what Scripture says here. That's what Moses had to learn, even though he wanted to resist five times. The Lord began to work in his heart, and now he learns that the Lord's going to reign forever, and his saints are going to reign with him forever. So, do we believe the Lord's going to reign forever? Yes, the Bible says that. And he's going to allow us to reign forever. Amen. We believe that? And so, he's going to allow us to reign forever. And so, the Apostle John, right at the tail end of all revelatory truth, tells us his saints will reign forever. Amen. Think of that. So, in verse 19, now let's get back to Pharaoh. So it says, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. So here we have a contrast. We have a contrast. The Lord promised to deliver them. He states that he delivered them, or he did deliver them. Moses now can sing about this. And so... see, we sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and we're teaching one another biblical truth here as we sing. Amen. And so here he's doing the same thing. Now in verse 19, conclude the song of Moses. Since the particle conjunction 4 connected the verse to verse 18, contrary to most commentaries. So verse 19 is part of the song. You see there in verse 20, Miriam then, she begins to sing. So our Song of Moses ends actually in verse 19. So the Hebrew connects 19, the word for, to verse 18. But anyway, so the word for connected a verse to verse 18. Contrary to most commentators, the song concluded with the summary statement. So the horse, so the word, the Hebrew word behind the horse is sus. S-U-S, sus. Ever heard of a, it was a megasus? So anyway, the sus of, so the horse of Pharaoh, probably the lead horse on his chariot, with the chariots and the horsemen were drowned in the Red Sea. So the horse of Pharaoh drowned. What about Pharaoh? They drowned or not? Here's the big issue. Did Pharaoh drown? No, he escaped by swimming and got out of there. No, that didn't happen. You think if Pharaoh's horse drowned, who's the lead horse on the chariot, probably Pharaoh died, right? Okay. All right, so anyway, dealing with all that. But and all the chariots and horsemen were drowned in the Red Sea. Psalm 136:15 makes that clear as well. He overcame him, overturned him. And the children of Israel went on dry land and escaped. So here's kind of a summary statement, a good concluding summary statement. This is what happened. Lord delivered them. How did they do that? Killed the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and the Jews were able to escape on dry ground. That's the contrast. That's the summary statement. Now, Exodus could have been one verse. Think of that. Exodus 1 would be verse 19. That's the summary statement of so much of this, and we could have moved on. I just won one-liner. Did they win or not? No, we need to see the details. And we see everything that's going on here. All right, so furthermore, verse 20 and 21. 20, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, and obviously then she was the sister of Moses, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown into the sea. All right, so here we have Miriam comes along here. So the narrative interlude separated Moses' song from Miriam's song. The text described her as a prophetess and a sister of Aaron and Moses. But remember, Aaron was older than Moses by 3 years. And so he was the head of the family. Have verses that bear that out. Now, Scripture tells us there were several prophetesses in the Bible. So Miriam was one of the several prophetesses in the Bible. There was Deborah, Judges 4 indicates she was a prophetess. There was Huldah, 2 Kings 22. There was the wife of Isaiah. His wife was a prophetess. He was a prophet. Noadiah, Nehemiah 6:14 now, Noadiah, as a prophetess, was a wicked prophetess. Then there was Anna in the New Testament, Luke 2:36, Anna the prophetess. There was Philip's daughters. Remember, he had 4 daughters, and they were prophetesses, but when Paul was in their presence, they never prophesied to him. All right. And then there's the false prophetess Jezebel. False prophet Jezebel. So she leads the pack of all the false prophetesses and women preachers in churches today. And so we have an appropriate name for her. So at least the 2 individuals in the Bible named Jezebel. All right. That's Revelation chapter 2. All right, so we have a listing of the prophetesses, and so God used them. So the Lord had used women significantly in different times in the past, but not now in the leadership of Baptist assemblies. So we don't have any prophetesses, we don't have any women preachers, we don't have any women deacons or deaconesses or anything like that in the assembly. And so we see in the Bible, we see truth is progressive. And so quite often in the Old Testament, there's a broadness of the Old Testament teaching in a lot of different areas. But as we move into the New Testament, it becomes much more narrow for this dispensation. All right. And so now later on, just to talk about Miriam for a minute, Aaron was her older brother. But he and she colluded together against Moses. This is in Numbers chapter 12. So let's look there for a minute. Numbers chapter 12. Here we have Moses' own siblings began to deal with him. And we see that in 12:1. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. So there's a family issue. So Moses, as a Shemite, married a Hamite. And for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And so they oppose him. So let's pick it up in verse 8. And with him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And so the Lord judged these 2 siblings as they tried to resist the will of God for their brother there, Moses, who's called the Lord's my servant Moses. And so here we see some of the strongest opposition in doing the Lord's work comes from those very close. And yet when the Lord deals with a person, we better let the Lord deal with that person and not us try to bring in opposition towards what the Lord's doing in the heart and life. Amen. So, nevertheless, the Lord dealt. Then But in us, she took timbrel in hand and led the women in song and dance, singing her song about the Lord's triumph and destroying the horse and the rider. So this, we're back here in our passage. So at this point, she contributes this role. And so the horse and the rider. So once again, we have another verse about Pharaoh. All right, so then in verse 22 and 23, and Moses brought the Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. So in this case, in the wilderness journey, we started way back there in chapter 12:37, and now coming down to this passage here, the wilderness journey had already started, and was characterized by constant murmuring. There were murmurers murmuring all the time. Hebrew word behind that is loon, L-U-N. So we need to make sure we're not loony, right? Yeah. We're the murmurers, murmuring about everything. We don't like this, we don't like that. Murmur, murmur. So don't be a loony. All right. So primarily, in Exodus 15, 16, 17, Numbers 14, 16, 17. So these are the six key passages where we see in the scripture here of the murmuring of the Jews, and they were opposed to the leader. And whenever anything ever went bad, they always went after the leader here. And the Lord was testing them. So David summarized Israel. So later on in the Psalm 106, David talks about the history of Israel in Psalm 106. But notice, scripture says, the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praises. See, so in this psalm here, in verse 12, they sang his praise. So praise is the last word of that Hebrew verse. And the next verb is soon forgot. So we see these two words connected. They sang his praise, they soon forgot. So they forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. And so this is the history of the murmuring. And the Lord finally had to deal with that last generation, or the older generation, by killing them all except Caleb and Joshua. So anyway, Moses leads them into, led Israel northeast into the wilderness of Shur. So the word Shur means wall. And so they go in this area. And so you might say, sure enough. The murmuring began after 3 days in the wilderness, as Moses had requested earlier. Remember, he wanted to go 3 days into the wilderness. He asked Pharaoh that about five times. Let us go 3 days into the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, no, you're not going to go 3 days into the wilderness because you want to escape and so on. So anyway, they go 3 days into the wilderness finally. And he led them to bitter water at Marah. And so the word bitter is translated, the Hebrew words Marah there. And in this case, we have in Ruth chapter 1, we have somebody named Naomi who wanted to be renamed Marah because she was bitter. Now we have a Naomi, but that doesn't connect to her. So anyway. So, but this was the Lord's test. So, yeah, I'm taking you 3 days into the wilderness. All of you wanted to do that. You wanted to go into the wilderness and worship the Lord. So I'm taking you 3 days into the wilderness. But by this time, you're going to have run out of water. And so you're going to come to water, and it's going to be bitter. I'm doing this on purpose. I'm giving you a test. I'm bringing you to a situation. It's the Lord's test. So in verse 24 and 25, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. So this is the proving of them. He brings in difficulties in every person's life. Nobody gets through life without difficulties. And so they're a test. And they're a test to see how do we respond to the difficulties. Quite often they're in their difficulties, the tendency is for us to get bitter, just like we heard in Sunday school today. We get bitter. We get angry with God. This shouldn't happen to me. It shouldn't happen. Why is this happening to me? It's happening to me because of the test. The test. He wants to test us. And so whatever the level of bitterness is, he wants to test our hearts. And so in this commentary, Israel murmured against the Lord's appointed man and asked him, "What shall we drink?" Instead of asking the Lord, why didn't they go to the Lord? No, they go to the man, the object of God. So can't get a hold of God, so I'm going to take my anger out on man. But it's really oblique. It's deflection. I'm really angry at God, but I'm going to take it out on a man. So anyway, Moses prayed to the Lord for them, and he showed him a tree. And Moses cast into the waters, and they were made sweet. So simple little thing here. Simple little thing. Where is this place of bitter waters, and where is this tree? Where is this tree? It's not about the tree. It's just an object. It's about the Lord doing this. So commentators say, individuals have searched high and low for this tree, and they can't find it. I'm not going to find it. It's not about the tree. It's about the Lord doing this. Could have taken a rock, a bug, whatever, thrown it in there. And so it's a matter of what the Lord did. Pastoral note. Pastoral note here. So are you bitter about your lot in life? Think of that. Many people get bitter about their lot in life. Why has this happened? Why has this happened to me? Well, you're part of the Adamic race. And you're in the fallen world. And so what do you expect? What do you expect? Yeah. And so we're put in this thing. So pastor, it's a pastoral note. Are you bitter about your lot in life? There's something in my life I don't like. It's not right. Shouldn't have happened to me. I'm special. So the Lord wants to change bitterness into sweetness by dealing with the heart. Take care of your heart, and he can turn bitterness around to sweetness. He's the one that does that. It's not through any other means. Not through any other means. He's the one that can change bitterness to sweetness. And so Solomon said, "The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning." As we have a sweet spirit rather than a bitter spirit, we can learn truth. When we are in bitterness, we're not learning truth. We're learning the message of what's brought the bitterness. So we're really not going to advance much more. So Solomon brings this point out. So only the Lord can change bitter water to sweet water. He tests and with challenges to see if we will trust and obey. We sing that, trust and obey. Like one theologian said, I mentioned this many times about Amazing Grace. I can sing Amazing Grace, but I just can't say it. Because you never experienced grace. Anybody can sing Amazing Grace. An atheist can sing Amazing Grace. But you have to be able to say what you sing. We sing songs here, but can we say the songs we sing? Right. Trust and obey. Whoever hear that? Trust and obey? Yeah. I can sing that. Yeah, even I. I can sing trust and obey, but can I say it in my own life? That's what Sunday school is all about. And so he challenges us with these things. He tests with challenges to see if we will trust and obey. Then, when he gets a hold of our heart, and we have the sweetness and not the bitterness, then he can send the blessing. He can send the blessing. So it's all about a heart issue, isn't it? So notice now in 25b through 27, so he made an ordinance, a statute and an ordinance, and 26 and following says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, it's the voice of the Lord, not the voice of Moses at this point, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. So they get to Elim. There's plenty of water there now. But he needed their heart changed. He needed the heart to be changed. And so what the Lord does is physically, he deals with us physically. He deals with us. You got to spiritually to have a better heart. All right. I may bring in something physical in your life. So you get the better heart straightened out, and then I can remove the physical challenge. And so he mentions the diseases. Since Egypt was such a pagan land, they had all types of diseases. They had the botch. That's what we see here in Deuteronomy. Talks about the botch and everything else that they had throughout Egypt and so on. So the Lord wants to deal with us spiritually. And when we get our hearts right with the Lord, then he doesn't have to begin to deal with us physically as well. And so that the statute and the ordinance was obedience would bring healing over diseases. And once then he turns the water to sweetness, he takes them to a place where there's all these 12 wells of water, plenty of water. The Lord's got all these things under control. So when the challenge comes, he wants to see how we respond. And once we respond biblically, then he can bring the blessings in. So that's what we see here. A great message. Great message here, but we need to make sure we're not murmuring all the time and complaining to the Lord, and why is this and why is that and so on. He's orchestrating our lives. He brings things into our lives. And so get your heart right. Get your heart right, and then I'll be able to give you blessings as well along the way. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the message here of Exodus 15. We pray that you help us to learn this message, put it to heart. Pray help us all to focus on the challenges that come our way, and realize that you've allowed these to help us to become spiritual in our lives and stronger Christians. We pray that you bless each one of us. We pray help us to learn from the message, bless in the conclusion of the service. Now we ask, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.